Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast for Connecting Faith. You can hear the show each Monday through Thursday at noon Central. And remember, there are even more shows available on our website, myfaithradio.com.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Happy Monday to you. I'm Neil Stavem. Glad to be along. You're tuned to Connecting Faith. Ryan's on vacation for a little while, so Aaron McIntyre filling in on the controls. So thank you for that, Aaron. And Grace at the phones as always. And we're looking forward to talking with you today and our guest. I spent a little time this morning out at a truck out in the parking lot at our headquarters here at the Mel Johnson Media Center on the campus of the University of Northwestern St. Paul, where the Harvest America truck is here, the mobile theater. They're traveling around the country just talking about the big Harvest America crusade coming up in September in Philadelphia and inviting pastors and churches and individuals to be a part of that, taking that live feed, satellite feed, and just to start praying about and inviting friends and neighbors. So if you're in the Minneapolis St. Paul area, the truck's going to be in the parking lot at our Snelling Avenue Mel Johnson Media Center headquarters for another hour or so, and you're welcome to stop by. I'm sitting out there in the heat and realizing that the forecast for the area is it's almost Texas-like in the heat. And so my guest today should feel right at home here. We're looking forward to talking to Doug Sherman. Doug's a husband, a father, a businessman, and a pilot, author, and a speaker. Written several books on faith in the marketplace, including Your Work Matters to God. Has a master's degree from Dallas Theological Seminary. Met Jesus at age 14. Has loved every minute of the adventure walking with God since then. He and his wife, Jan, family live in Austin, Texas. And he's with us today. Doug, good to have you on with us. Thanks for being part of Connecting Faith.
Well, thanks, Neil. Sure looking forward to it.
I want to talk a little bit about, we're going to get into issues about how your work matters to God. One of your books is also called Keeping Your Head Up When Your Job's Got You Down. And so, if you're in maybe a Monday funk a bit today about work, or wishing that this was a vacation week or that every week was vacation, or maybe you just need some fresh perspective on work, you're welcome to join our conversation and talk with Doug about that. The phone number is 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. But Doug's latest book is called More Than Ordinary, Enjoying Life with God. And we want to talk a little bit about that, or thinking about, our relationship with God and our approach to everyday life, recognizing that God is there with us. And Doug, in that book, this is sort of a culmination of a lot of your life experience. You talk about, felt like, you lived like a practical atheist. And I'm wondering if we could just start with that. How do we live in that way when we don't sort of cultivate God's presence on a daily basis?
Well, Neil, I think for most of us as Christians, we've grown up in kind of a moralistic environment where we have learned that our faith is mostly about stamping out sin. And certainly sin is not to be embraced, and it's a problem and should be avoided. But we oftentimes don't think about the life that God calls us to, which is to live in his presence moment by moment as we go about the day and find significance in every single thing that we do. And we can actually go through the day without having much contact with him. If you were to call the average believer up at 10 o'clock at night, assuming they didn't get mad at you for calling so late, and said, of all the rich experiences you had with Jesus today, what was your best? Neil, the tragedy is that for most of us, we can't think of one. We read our Bible, but that really wasn't all that rich, and it didn't feel like we encountered God. And then we went about our day. We made decisions on our own. We had self-talk. We relied on ourselves. We made decisions on our own. We didn't even think about him. Maybe a time or two at a meal, we thought of him. But it wasn't a rich adventure with him, which is the life that God calls us to. The reason God hates sin is it keeps us from enjoying fellowship with him. And what we need to do is to shift our whole thinking about what life with God is all about, that there are two basic realities. We can have a God-centered or God-focused hour, or we can have a self-focused hour. In a self-focused hour, we can still be, basically moral and have integrity, just like non-Christians do. But a God-focused hour is one where we live, not just say, but live like those who believe that God is present, real, good, and a perfect Father wanting to lead us to the best life possible.
You know, maybe that's where it has to start to, because maybe it's our perception of understanding who God is that, you know, as you describe in the book, that God loves our company. I think a lot of us, you know, if we've been believers for a long time, just there's something maybe about that idea. We know God is good and loving, and yet that, you know, God loves us as, you know, his children. That's kind of a fresh concept, maybe.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think the substructure of our thinking in our whole life is our view of who he is. And I know that's been said a lot, but what we need to realize is that I may be able to answer in a multiple choice test that God is always present. I may get that in my head, but I may not live that way. And it's really clear that our faith is not what we have in our head, but it's how we live. If I live as though God is present, I would never go to work without bringing him. I would never do an email without asking for his help. I would never think of making a hiring decision or a firing decision or, you know, without asking for his input. It's just that we oftentimes don't live like the truths that we have heard. And in many cases, we've lived our whole life only affirming truth, but never really living like it's true. And I think that's the call, is to take the truth of God about who he is and what he promises to be for us and to do for us in the Word, and to live like that is true.
I know, I think you described it. The phrase caught my attention about how we end up commuting between our jobs and spiritual lives, that, you know, it's part of us, as you say. We may get up early and read the Bible, but still it's somehow just just another thing to check off, and our real life is at work.
Well, you've said that very well. I mean, that, I think, too, and I hope I say this with kindness, but, you know, most of us have grown up in a religious environment that has been church-centered, where leaders have implied that commitment to church equals commitment to God. And so, you know, that's why people feel like they're on the B team when they don't go in the ministry. That's why they feel like, you know, their lives don't count. I'm in student housing. You know, sometimes people in regular jobs or stay-at-home moms or people that are not doing church work feel like the part of their life that is not devoted to church-like work, it no longer matters. But it's built on a false image. We are children of God, and we're called in every arena of family and work, and what we do really matters. And if we don't get that, if we think what we do doesn't matter, we will ultimately conclude, Neil, that we don't matter.
That's the title of one of your books, Your Work Matters to God. And talk a little bit about how you started maybe writing on this area, because you've written several books related to kind of career and job and understanding, you know, God's involvement in that. And this, the latest one, More Than Ordinary, which is just recently out, you know, represents, you know, enjoying life with God. How did this develop in your own life?
Well, it really all started in how I came to Christ. It was a very unusual start. My dad was Jewish. My mom was not a Christian, Gentile, but not a Christian. And following a period of teenage rebellion, I found myself lost and really looking for direction. And it very unusual. I was sitting in my backyard thinking about how lost I was. And I had a vision of Jesus. And he was as clear to me, and I looked into his eyes, I just knew it was Jesus. I had no Bible background, never heard a sermon on the Bible before, but I just knew it was him, and I gave my life to him. And for the next 4 years, and really since that time, I've just had almost a continual sense of his presence. And, you know, we have conversation throughout the day. I get to see his hand. It's so exciting when I come home. I'm full of God stories about my life. And as I've led other people to Christ, Neil, and discipled them, I found thousands of people excited in that same way, passionate about knowing and following Jesus and having rich encounters with him. And it wasn't until I was 27 and got out of the Air Force after high school, this may be surprising, but I didn't have a Christian church. I didn't even know another Christian for the next 4 years. I just had a very intimate walk with him. And then when I went to college, I went to the Air Force Academy and then met the navigators and got involved there. But it was several years later when I finally went to what we would call a mainstream Christian church. And I was shocked, Neil, by what I saw. These are good people, wonderful people in a good church with a good pastor, good leader, teaching the Bible. But they had no stories. They had, and they lived at work like everyone else lived at work. There was no difference in their lives. There was very little joy, very little inner strength. And frankly, I think I've spent the rest of my life trying to figure out what is going on there. What's the root issue? Why is it that so few people finish their day with rich encounters with God? So the basis for all the writing has not been so much about the subject of work. It's about how we enjoy the Lord when we go about our everyday task, of which work is going to be the majority of them.
The book that we're, several books we're referencing, but one called More Than Ordinary, Enjoying Life with God, kind of providing the basis for our discussion today. Also, Your Work Matters to God. And we've got some copies, I think, of both of those. Be happy to pass them along to you. If you want to join the conversation today as we talk about enjoying life with God, whether it's at work or home or wherever it might be, and what does that look like? We'll talk more with author Doug Sherman about making life with God an adventure and transforming our approach to daily life and entering a conversation with God and see him as walking alongside us in each and every circumstance and problem we face. We'll get to that in just a moment, as we welcome you to join the conversation at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. A businessman, author, and speaker, Doug Sherman, my guest today here on Connecting Faith.
The best way to ruin a confession is to use the words that shift the blame to others. Yeah, okay, but... The big but is probably the most harmful of words to use in an apology because it has this unique ability to cancel all the words that precede it. Examples are, I'm sorry I hurt you, but you really upset me. I should have kept my mouth closed, but he needed to hear it. I know I was wrong, but I was not as wrong as you. When these statements are made, most people believe the words following but more than those that precede it. A confession containing but rarely leads to reconciliation. Following our apology with a but shows our unwillingness to accept responsibility for what we've done. My friend Stephanie tells her students, I'm sorry I hurt you is a complete sentence. She then tells them to catch a bubble in their mouth so they stop talking. It's often a hard lesson for all of us to learn. But to be sincere and truly apologize, we need to strike the but from our confession every time, every day. For more encouragement, visit DebbieGriffith.com.
It's 18 past the hour, and talking today with Doug Sherman. Doug is a businessman, he's a pilot, husband, and father, author, and speaker. He's written several books on faith in the marketplace, including Your Work Matters to God. He's a master's degree from Dallas Theological Seminary, and the book we're referencing for a while here is called More Than Ordinary, Enjoying Life with God. It's one of the new books from Doug. And our phone number, by the way, is 877-93-FAITH as we talk about faith work and enjoying life with God. And Doug, I want to talk about, you know, how do we enjoy life with God more? You talk about God has sort of been mentoring you on four essential truths. And I thought maybe if you want to just summarize those, because that gives us maybe a launching point for this next segment.
Well, I think it's so amazing to think that our Heavenly Father cares so much for us that He wants to mentor us. Of course, the whole book of Proverbs is largely the image of a father mentoring his son, and the passion of God to lead us to the best life possible causes us to realize that every step that we take to follow Him and to respond to Him with more frequency and depth is a trade-up. It's a phenomenal trade-up from a self-centered life to a God-centered life. And I think maybe if an observer were to go through all the books and listen to all the teaching, I think largely people would realize that most of my life has been trying to understand personally and help others grasp the implication that God is a real person and that He's present. And I know that that is said. I know that that is, it's not a new concept for most people. It's just the implications of that for our lives are so dramatic and so disruptive and so powerful to think that He wants to be present with us and that He's present in every way that we use that word, that He wants to talk to us. He's paying attention to everything. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He never fails to be infinitely kind and loyal, and you know that he is always present. I think the other thing that is so important when we talk about God's presence is we're all typically almost immediately struck with, gosh, what would it be like to respond to God all day, every day? I mean, we almost seems like a crushing burden to think of where we are now and imagine doing that. But small steps really matter. I send out a text to friends at 10 and 2 that call them to. It's like a letter from God. So it might say something like, Neil, I am anxious to help you right now. What do you want to ask me? The Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Or, Neil, I am praying for you always, Jesus. And it's just a little thing that'll help people get connected to the Lord in the middle of their day, and you wouldn't believe how that has changed lives. Just connecting with them in the middle of the day, just a little bit of a small step, a small response. Ideally we'll be doing that with more frequency and depth over the course of our lives, but you know, small steps really, really matter. And then our view of God is something that determines everything. And our view of God is built on truth and it's built on lies. And unfortunately, we've all bought into lies like, if you don't perform, He won't love you. Or if I'm not perfect, God will be disgusted with me. Or the only thing that matters is church work, not the other things God's called me to do. We go on and on. But when we identify the truth, it really does set us free. It is everything that Jesus, it's just the reality of Jesus' promise to us in John 8, that if we continue in His word, we're truly His disciples, and we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And that truth can set us free from anger and from stress and from fear, because all those things all come from lies that we've believed about God. And to think that what we do matters for all eternity and that He is extravagant in rewarding us for every step we take. It just, can you imagine if we really believed that every step we take to respond to Him not only brings us joy now, but will be rewarded for all eternity? It's almost too much to grasp. It really is.
Well, I wonder if sometimes we deal with a lot of discontent because maybe we trust God to do what's best? I mean, do we, when we have setbacks and difficulties, we say, well, yes, I know God is good. I know He's, as you said, infinitely kind and loyal. And yet, you know, can I really trust that what I'm going through right now is really for my good?
Boy, that I think you've got your finger on where a lot of us are really living right there. And I think, you know, it's so important. This is one of the most important things about the Scriptures, is that we need to let the Scriptures define who God is and not our circumstances. When we go through difficult circumstances, think about the folks in the tornado in Moore, Oklahoma. You know, if you look at the circumstances and say, what kind of God allows a tornado like that, we'll always end up with the wrong conclusion. We have to start with the Scriptures and let that interpret our circumstances. But the bigger issue occurs for us when we say, well, I know you're kind, but it sure doesn't feel that way. And I think that's a real honest statement, and we want to give people permission to say honest things like that. But, you know, what we know from the Word is that our words lead our heart. If in the midst of trials we can say, Lord, I know I don't feel grateful, but I want to say thank you for the good things you're going to do out of it, according to Romans 8:28. Lord, I know that you're brilliant and you have infinite wisdom, and that this is the best way to accomplish the greatest good for the greatest number of people over the greatest length of time. And let our words and our praise change our heart, because our heart can easily be cold, at least mine is, in trials. And I have to let my words lead my heart.
Doug Sherman's my guest today. We're talking about his writing, More Than Ordinary, Enjoying Life with God. It's published by NAV Press. He's also written Your Work Matters to God, Keeping Your Head Up When Your Job's Got You Down. We're talking a little about life every day and work life, and we'll get more into that as we go on throughout the hour as well. You're welcome to join us at 877-933-2484. Doug, one of the things that you talk about in the book More Than Ordinary is about seeing God as majestic and generous and fully delighting in us. And I talk a little bit about what seeing majesty does for us spiritually.
Well, of course, before the show, you and I were talking about mountains and
how much we love them, yes.
And we love them. I know that there are beach people half of my family are mountain lovers and half love the beach. But, you know, when we see the Grand Canyon, John Piper makes a statement, when you see the Grand Canyon, it doesn't improve your self-image. It really improves your image of God. And we were built to see majesty. We were built to see God's amazing, infinite, limitless, disruptive glory. I mean, his goodness and his kindness, and not only to see it and acknowledge it, but to live it, to live like he is kind. Throughout our day, we can see his greatness in the Word. We can, you know, we should never let a page of Scripture get flipped before we have something where we see God revealing his heart, the way he sees us, the way he, you know, his nature, his kindness. We want to see it and acknowledge it and respond to it and get fresh pictures of who he is every day. But we see it at work. Every time, you know, we do a project and we do it well, we should acknowledge the fact that he was the author of that good idea. Or, we can see that every time we have favor with another individual, God is the one who gave us the favor. We can see his goodness in the provision and protection and answered prayer and the revealing of his hand if we'll only look for it. It's a little bit like if I told you, I'm making this up, but say the best car in the world is a black Chevrolet Impala. All of a sudden, you would start looking for black Chevrolet Impalas on the road, and you'd see a lot more than you ever thought were out there just because you weren't paying attention. Well, if we can pay attention to God's greatness and goodness revealed to us throughout the day, it can thrill us and expand the dimensions of our image of God. And that just goes a long way to allow us to enjoy the majesty of God and be changed by it.
And we've got just a moment here before we take a break. Maybe we'll come back after the break and talk a little about that, because it seems like we have spent a lot of effort knowing about God, but to know him personally and then to recognize that he does fully delight in us and to allow him to transform our daily life. That's what we want to be talking about here in our time remaining here with Doug Sherman. Doug, again, has authored several books. The one we're referencing is called More Than Ordinary, Enjoying Life with God. It's published by NAB Press. Life doesn't have to be ordinary. If you're experiencing, want to experience more joy and an abundant life in Jesus, and we've got some great insights for you yet to come. Doug is a husband and a father, a businessman, a pilot, graduate of the Air Force Academy, spent some time in service, as a writer and speaker. Several of his books include Keeping Your Head Up, When Your Job's Got You Down, Your Work Matters to God, From Washington to Wall Street to Main Street, Work Dominates the Landscape of Modern Life, but unless you can connect what you do all day with what you think God wants you to be doing, you'll never find ultimate meaning in either your work or your relationship with God. We'll get to that and more coming up here in just a moment. We invite you to join in with us at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484, or you can always connect with us online, myfaithradio.com, and you can go to the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there, myfaithradio.com. And we'll talk in just a couple more minutes with Doug Sherman. Stay tuned to Connecting Faith.
Other. KTIS.
The hour, and talking today with Doug Sherman, who's authored several books, including More Than Ordinary, Enjoying Life with God, and Your Work Matters to God. A couple copies of both those, and we'd love to pass them on to you here today. You want to join the broadcast, and we'll get to our calls in just a moment at 877-933-2484. Doug, I did want to get your perspective on it. In one of your books, you talk about the importance of pleasing God at work, and talk about the difference between pleasing men and pleasing God at work, because I think sometimes we wonder, well, you know, it doesn't seem like, you know, that's the place where I can really be focusing on, you know, God day by day.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting how Scripture puts those in such a dichotomy. Even Paul in Galatians said if he was to be a pleaser of man, he couldn't be an apostle of Christ Jesus. Yet we all feel the pull to impress people. We're all basically insecure. We want to impress others. We want them to think highly of us. We want to be considered a success. And all of those just create bondage. They create this ball and weight that is around our foot, and we live with it, and it creates fear. It creates stress. It's the source of so much of our anxiety. And, you know, I know recently we were in the startup of a business, and it was really wobbly. Our startup really wondered if we were going to make it. And, you know, I noticed that a lot of my thoughts went to the fact, I wonder what my children would think. You know, and it's just so natural for us to be concerned about what others think. But in Isaiah 2:22, it says, "Stop regarding man whose life of breath is in his nostrils, for why should he be esteemed?" And God wants us to be free. He wants to free us from bondage of what others think. And wouldn't it be amazing if we had no fear? If we just didn't care about what others thought, and we just our main goal for the day was to enjoy Him. And so I think on a practical level, how do we do this? Well, first of all, it's a journey. It's not a light switch. You don't just flip a switch and then no more do you ever care what people think. I wish I could be that way, but it is a journey. But the more we practice maybe entering a meeting and saying, "Lord, this meeting is about enjoying you. It's not about impressing others." It's important to state them both, what it is and what it isn't. Lord, I'm feeling afraid right now because of what others are going to think. Please free me of that because I just want to enjoy you. Saying things like this and thinking things like this go a long way to just having progress, so that we can live life with that freedom, that, you know, from what Proverbs says is a snare. The fear of man is a snare. It's a bear trap. It's something that we all tend to do, but is harmful for us. And our Heavenly Father wants to free us of it.
What was the reference again? Was it Isaiah 2? Was it?
222. Yes, sir.
Isaiah 222. All right, let's go to phone lines. Erica has been waiting in Elk River. Erica, thanks for joining us. You're on with Doug Sherman.
Hi, thank you. What you're talking about today is so interesting. I've been struggling over the last 2 years. The job that I have is, in the big scheme of things, it really doesn't matter. And yet I feel I'm supposed to be where I'm at. So do you have any additional advice on, you know, how I can focus on being Christ-like to the people that I work with and that I'm involved with every day versus what it is that I do?
Boy, Erica, that's a great question. I'm so glad you asked that. First of all, let's just talk about work itself. Can you tell me what it is you do?
I'm an interior designer.
Okay. So, you know, earlier we talked, Erica, about the fact that we tend to slump into a church-centered life where if we're not doing church-related items, we're not sharing Christ, we're not reading the Bible, we're not fasting, praying, that what we're doing doesn't really matter. And, you know, I hate to say it, but it's just wrong. All of life matters, and interior design matters. Both my wife and my daughter are in interior design, and making a home comfortable for families so that they can entertain others is something God actually cares about. And what you do with your hands and your mind, the creativity that God has given you and the way you've been wired are all things your Heavenly Father has given you as gifts so that you can be a gift to others. And the greatest way you could have an impact on your coworkers is to enjoy the Lord. Most people don't know Christians who enjoy the Lord. They know Christians who can bark at them for what they're doing wrong. They know Christians that, you know, have rules or are real diligent about going to church, but they don't know many who are passionate about knowing and following this person and engaging him, you know, as you're planning a design. The fact that you can enjoy the Lord and incorporate him and bring him into that and enjoy it. They don't know anyone typically who does that or who has the inner strength when life tends to bring trials our way, where you can enjoy the Lord even in the midst of difficulty. As they watch your life, you'll have a tremendous impact and create credibility when you do talk to them about enjoying this amazing God that we know. So it's so important that you have, Erica, vision that interior design does matter. It does. And we've all heard missionaries that have maybe come to the conclusion that their life didn't matter because they were in a secular job, and so they wanted to be full-time for Christ, and so they went on the mission field. And we've heard this over and over to where we tend to think that that's what faithfulness to God is. But that's faithfulness to one aspect of our calling. It's not faithfulness to all of our calling. And what you do matters. Homes matter. Offices matter. The way people enjoy them. It really is a part of a complex ecosystem that God has today of loving people. Another way to think of it might be to think of next time you have a meal, you know, just to think of all the people, when you thank God for your meal, all the people that God used to bring you that, the grocers and the truck drivers and the farmers, and how the rain fell at the right time, and how he called people to pick the crops, and the complex ecosystem that brought that amazing meal to you. In the same way, you're a part of God's plan for what he's doing to express his love to people in homes, whether they know him or not. So having that vision that he cares about what you do and he wants to do it with you, he wants you to be able to enjoy his presence as you do your work. I promise you that'll keep a smile on your face and a very compelling countenance for your coworkers.
Thanks, Erica, for the call. It's 20 minutes here before the hour. Doug, I'm just wondering, you know, whether it's interior design or insurance or assembly, or is it about the words that we say, or is it just simply how we go about our daily activities, and is it a matter of just sort of being more God conscious or praying throughout the day? Give us some the kind of habits that we could develop at work that would begin to help us enjoy the Lord.
Well, I think, excuse me, I think, Neil, that it's actually, you know, what we do with the Lord is what we would do with any divine guest. If we can imagine that God has come to live with us and he, that Jesus Christ is staying at our house, and as he comes down for breakfast, of course, we would talk with him. We would interact with him. We would see what would please him. You know, we would bring him to work. In the car, we would say, Lord, what do you want to talk about? You know, as we begin to organize our day, we might say, Lord, please help me. And find ourselves just seeking him in everything that we do. Before we did an email, we would ask him for wisdom. We would ask him to, you know, what attitude might please him. Sometimes I get ready to write an email when I'm upset, and I'll ask him, Lord, what attitude would please you? And it's usually not one where I'm upset. So thinking of him as being real and present and relating to him as a real person, you'd talk to him, you'd ask him questions, you'd apologize to him, you would seek his direction, you would ask how you could represent him. And while all of that's going on, while all of the interior of your heart and mind is interacting with God, it's an amazing aroma to people around you. It just is a compelling life that will lead you to have conversations with them where you can explain what's going on and why you seem to be so different.
We'll take a short break here, give you a chance to get a little water, and come back and take Rich's call. He's waiting online as well, and we'll take your calls as well as we talk more with Doug Sherman about your work matters to God and more than ordinary. Enjoying life with God, what does that look like? How does that happen day by day? 877-933-2484 is the number, 877-93-FAITH. We'll continue with Doug Sherman in a moment.
What are you willing to do to go beyond the call? This is Wayne Peterson, president of HCJB Global. While in a Vietnamese refugee camp, Phu Ho led over 300 people to the Lord. He then immigrated to Oregon, and with money given him for food by a local church, he bought stamps to send letters teaching and encouraging his Christian friends back home. He moved his family to Los Angeles to pastor a Vietnamese church, and while there earned a master's and doctoral degree. He set up an office for his follow-up ministry, which grew to over 5,000, and he became the primary conduit to help new immigrants. Isaiah 40 says, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength." When warned he should slow down, Phu replied, "In the Lord's work, someone has to be the bridge across which others can walk." Like Phu Ho, be unstoppable and go beyond the call. And then visit us online at hcjb.org.
Doug Sherman has written several books. He's a husband, father, businessman, pilot, author, and speaker. Books like Your Work Matters to God, Keeping Your Head Up When Your Job's Got You Down. The latest is called More Than Ordinary, Enjoying Life with God. And we're talking just about that, about seeing God as majestic, generous, and fully delighting in us, and about entering into deep conversation with God and transforming our approach to daily life. And Rich is listening in at Faith 1200 from Manitoba. Rich, you're on with Doug Sherman. Go ahead.
Hello, I'm really fascinated that you would have this vision when you probably didn't have very much information about Jesus and God, and I'm wondering, why doesn't that happen more often? I wish something like that would have happened to me.
Well, Rich, you know, I think it's just one thing we know about the Lord is that he pursues us, and I think he pursues us in different ways and in different environments. And most of the people that I know have come to Christ either, you know, in a Christian home or through a church. But when I travel or when I am involved with people overseas, I find more and more people who have stories that are almost exactly like mine. I was talking to an Indian businessman not too long ago who nearly fell out of his chair when I shared the story, because he had the same image. He had the exact same experience and came to Christ in the same way. And I know in the Muslim world, there is, I don't know the percentage exactly. My son was a missionary there, and he told me that something like 40% of Muslims have had dreams of a man in a white robe, and it's almost been the same dream, and that a large percentage of those who do come to Christ have come to Christ because of those dreams. I think when the curtain is peeled back, Rich, I'm convinced that we're going to find a God who was very active, very much a Savior, eager to rescue us, and very active in a myriad of ways that ultimately led us to Christ. And so I think I don't want to in any way claim any privileged status with that. I know it may seem that way, but I think what we'll find is that we'll all be struck with just what an amazing Savior we have and what an amazing God we have.
You know, Doug, too, I'm just reminded again how you addressed it again, that God is pursuing us, and that, you know, so often I think we're focused on, well, I have to pursue God. It's all about my effort, my pursuit. But to understand that God is pursuing us, that he loves us, God wants to have children, right?
Boy, he really does. And, you know, I think if we can imagine, well, it's probably hard for us to grasp what infinite passion really is, what infinite desire is. But when God does something, it's because it pleases him and it brings infinite pleasure to him. And the whole reason that he adopted us in Ephesians 1 is because he wanted to. He didn't have a gun to his back. No one made him do it. It wasn't because he had some moral mandate that, you know, made him reluctantly do it. He did it with wholesale abandon and utter desire to father us for all eternity. And if we could only live like that was true, we've all heard that, but if only we could live that way, you know, we would have an entirely different walk with him if we believe that. And you're absolutely right, Neil. He is a passionate father, and that's our core image of him. You know, over 200 times in the New Testament, Jesus referred to God as our Father in some way, in a parable, in a statement, in the Lord's Prayer, in his prayer in John 17. Almost 200 times, it is the dominant metaphor of God and his personality. And sure, he's a king, and he is a friend, and he certainly reveals himself in those forms, but primarily, he is a father. Even in Isaiah 9, Jesus is referred to as a perfect father.
Doug, we had a caller who says, my stepson is working but is living below his potential. How can I encourage him to reach for more and develop his gifts?
Well, another good question. In Ephesians 6, it tells us that we should do our work as to Christ. And, you know, in Your Work Matters to God, I try to expand on what that means, and that may be a good starting point. But if we literally thought that we were working for Christ, if we could imagine, Neil, that before we go into our office, as we pass through the doorframe, you know, if we thought on a sales call, I am here because Jesus Christ has called me to be here, or, you know, before we go on a job site, or before we go on any work activity, mow the yard or do whatever, you know, if we thought we were doing it for him, we would do it with excellence. We would do it with enthusiasm. We would definitely do it with integrity. And the reason we would do it is not to impress people or to make a lot of money, but to please him because we love him. And when that becomes the core motivation, then you start seeing people be a whole lot more faithful at work. The ought to's just don't work. You can't say to a son, you know, you ought to do something better. You ought to work harder. That, you know, it's the law. It just doesn't work. What we have to help people see is that by trading up from maybe a nominal view of our job to a Christ-centered view of our job, from trading up from a low view of God to a biblical view of God, you know, trading up pleasing ourselves to pleasing God, even in a few moments a day, can utterly change our life and bring us so much more joy. So I'd say, one, let's not throw autus at this son. Let's invite him to a much better, bigger world where he can do everything for God and with God.
Just on some of the press materials for your book, More Than Ordinary, they offer the verse from Romans 12, verse 1 from the Message. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. I just thought, you know, we've read the Message many times, and just that's always such a fresh perspective, but that's a good word for us today, no matter what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. That is really good. And I think we need to take the burden of being perfect off our shoulders tomorrow and imagine that every moment of our day we'll be walking with him. God is incredibly kind and gracious. This is a journey. Small steps matter. Just even connecting with him a few times today could be a monumental step forward for us. And we could make enormous progress just by walking with him more and more, seeking his will in more situations, asking him questions like, Lord, what would please you? What attitude would please you? You know, right in the middle of a plane getting canceled and you're frustrated and you're missing your meeting, and you could just say, Lord, what good things have you planned for me in the midst of this? Can just change our lives, even a few steps every day.
Obviously, you said this is a journey. I'm wondering just for you, how maybe where you've made the most progress in the journey and maybe where you have the most setbacks. Is it the canceled flights? Is it, business is not going well at work? Or what are some of the challenges for you and maybe where are you making progress?
Well, I would say, Neil, that my life has had seasons where I've had accelerated progress, and then there were times when I sort of stalled out. And I hate to say it, but all the accelerated progress moments occurred in the midst of trials, either financial difficulties or family crises or health issues or other things. Unfortunately, it just seems like we need our ego deconstructed through trials to be able to make room in our heart for God. And the times of greatest prosperity are the kind times when I think my heart drifted a little bit more toward being worldly and enjoying success and maybe just thinking of myself as important and being the author of that rather than giving my life full force to the Lord. Those times were times where, you know, I think I rolled backwards rather than forwards. So it's been intermittent, and I think everyone's journey is. I don't think anyone just has a solid passion for him all day, every day. But, you know, unfortunately, I grow the most in the most difficult times.
What do you, how do you respond to, you know, words out of Ecclesiastes? You know, what does the worker gain from his toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on men. How do you reflect on that?
Well, I think I think the point of the book is that life without God is just terrible. It's meaningless. It's hopeless. And what he invites us to do is to have life with God. And that life without God ultimately means we should probably just end it so that we don't experience pain and the meaninglessness of life, and we become just completely hopeless. But what God offers us is to live life with him and to experience the joy of knowing him and following him. And that's what gives meaning to life and gives meaning to everything we do.
I was thinking, you're a husband and father of three children and grandchildren. What's your challenge for us as parents or maybe grandparents today? How can we model this in a way that our kids we'll see the joy of experiencing everyday life with God?
Well, if I had one one recommendation, it would be to tell God stories. You know, Neil, I've tried for years to sit down at dinner and share the word with my kids. And, you know, at times they'd pay attention, at times they didn't. But whenever I would open with a story that might begin something like this, I was talking with an angry client today, and he was livid. And I began to pray and ask God what attitude would please him. And kids, you wouldn't believe what happened. You know, all eyes are on me. Their heads are leaning toward me. They can't wait to hear what, you know, what happened. I think the best way that we can lead our families, if I had one thing, it would be to tell them the stories of our rich encounters with God. Kids, you wouldn't believe what God prompted me to do today. You wouldn't believe how I learned this lesson when I was in the Word. You can't believe how God revealed His majesty to me in the sunset as I was driving home. To be full of what the Psalms talk about as telling of the wondrous works of God. Most children are wondering, is Jesus worth following? And unfortunately, they tend to live in homes where mom and dad don't experience Him. And so, you know, they've never heard a God story from their parent. But God stories would be my number one recommendation.
More Than Ordinary, Enjoying Life with God is the title of the book we've been referencing from Doug Shurman. Seeing God as majestic, generous, and fully delighting in you. Entering into a deep conversation with God, transforming our approach to daily life. Simplifying the way that we walk with God and passing on what we've learned. Doug's just been talking about that. Doug is a husband, father, businessman, pilot, author, and speaker, and has written the book More Than Ordinary, Enjoying Life with God, plus Your Work Matters to God, to others, including Keeping Your Head Up When Your Job's Got You Down. Doug, if people want to find out more, maybe just even get on your little email Twitter list for a little encouragement day by day. What's the best way to find out more about your writing?
Well, I think the best way, Neil, would be to get on a website called igniteyourwalk.org, igniteyourwalk.org. And they can get a text at 10 and a 2 every day, and it's a free service if they would like to.
Igniteyourwalk.org. Doug Shurman, thank you. Blessings to you. Appreciate your time today, and thanks for the encouragement to hear as we face a new work week.
Well, thanks, Neil. Thanks so much, and God bless you and all that you're doing on this show.
You're listening to Connecting Faith. If you missed part of today's broadcast, you can always catch it. We post the podcast here shortly after the show. So an opportunity for you to listen and then pass it on to a friend. It's all shareable. It's a great way to just encourage others, too. Hope that you'll be with us tomorrow. You'll be encouraged by hearing Lee Strobel's story. You know, Lee is a noted voice for apologetics, written several best-selling books, but he'll talk about his story and the impact on his family. And you'll be blessed by it tomorrow at noon on Connecting Faith.